Congregation, turn with me to Psalm 23, as you find it on page 631 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 23. Hear then the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our text for this morning is the first part of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, these words of Psalm 23 are some of the most sweetest and most beloved words in all of the Psalms, even in all of Scripture. I think we would all agree, wouldn't we, that this psalm has been referred to as being the Pearl of Psalms by Charles Spurgeon. Alexander McLaren said this with regards to this psalm: the world could spare many a large book better than this sunny psalm. It has dried many tears and supplied the mold into which many hearts have poured their peaceful faith. In other words, all the volumes written to lead us out of our darkness are nothing compared to these six short verses. They immediately shine with glorious hope and with great comfort. They bring peace and tranquility where there was once worry and anxiety. And how apropos then for today. How often have we not heard these oh so familiar words of Psalm 23? How often have we ourselves not read these words, perhaps when a loved one faced sickness, even death? Perhaps when we ourselves were going through some dark moments in life, for many these have been the last words that they have heard from the Word of God. Perhaps even the last words they spoke, reciting from memory these precious words. But there's also a danger in the fact that this psalm is recited flippantly by so many who do not name the name of Jesus Christ, who have no interest in truly being a sheep within the great shepherd's sheepfold. They know nothing of an almighty God, let alone a precious Savior who is also the believer's shepherd. They have no sense of their own sin, but yet they see these words as being their balm, their salve to lay upon their wounds in their time of need. And when the moment of pain and anxiety and distress has passed, their world once again begins to revolve on the axis of self. But what about us? What about us, we who do profess faith in God, we who do confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? What about us? We who lay claim to the grace of God, we who profess His undeserved mercies. Beloved, we too must be particularly careful when reciting these words, when looking, even considering these words, any word of Scripture for that matter, so as to not take the Word of God for granted, nor to take the Lord's name in vain. In our ignorance, this can easily be done. But you see, that's the beauty of corporate worship. coming together as God's people to have the Word of God opened up and set before us so as to bring to mind again who our triune God is and who we are with respect to Him. And with the Holy Spirit then as our guide, the depths of Scripture can be plumbed and its glorious truths can and will find their place within our hearts, the hearts of God's people. If we neglect the work of the Holy Spirit and fail to have Him lead us and guide us as we listen to and read for ourselves the Word of God, then the Word only serves as a background noise in the midst of our busy lives, where a cold and spiritually lifeless heart will make every effort to drown that noise out. But when these words do find their way into the hearts of God's people through the work of the Holy Spirit, they indeed serve their glorious purpose. And there hardly needs to be any explanation as to their meaning. We just know the riches of these words of confession. But isn't it wonderful to be reminded? May it be then that as this psalm is considered this morning, that the Lord would illuminate our hearts, our thoughts, that we might see even more the fullness of the Lord God Almighty, who in His grace and mercy has showered us with a perfect love manifested through Christ's once for all sacrifice. That truth that has been placed upon our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning I consider just the opening words of this psalm as my text. The Lord is my shepherd. And we see first that it is the Lord who is shepherd. Second, we see I belong to Him. And third, He cares for me. So the starting point of this confession of faith declares that it is the Lord who is my shepherd. He is shepherd to everyone who embraces the gift of salvation, everyone who knows Christ. Congregation, we could consider these five words of our text, and they would give explanation to everything that follows. This psalm, you could say, could stand by itself with just these opening words. Who is my shepherd? It is the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, because it is the Lord who is my shepherd, there will be no want for anything. He will lead us into green pastures. He will bring us into peaceful tranquility when the whole world around us is going crazy. He's the restorer of my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Just with those opening words. But congregation, before we go further, let's first take note of the composer of this psalm. This is a psalm of David, and there's no doubt about that. And looking at these verses, we can only say that he was one who suffered greatly. He was one who had taken a huge drink, you could say, from a bitter cup. One who had known the tragedies of life and had realized most of them were the result of his own actions. But he was one who had, through it all, received spiritual rest for his soul. One who had received in his spirit, had been revived in his spirit. One who could look around and see the great joy that there is in the midst of trial. His faith allowed him to see, as it were, around the corners of bitter disappointment and loss. And so he was able to see beyond all of these circumstances that he was going through, the New Jerusalem. And that it would be brought forth through Christ. He could see the Lord's hand in every turn of his life in spite of his own self as he looked in the rearview mirror, looking to the part of his life that lay behind him. And as he took one long, hard look at everything that had happened, the song that rose up from within his heart was this pastoral song, "The Lord is my shepherd." Love, there isn't one in our midst this morning who hasn't known firsthand some of what David himself has gone through. We've all experienced loss. We've all been sinned against. We've all sinned against another and suffered the consequences. We've all shed bitter tears because of our actions, and we've all traveled through dark valleys, not able to see our hand in front of us, not knowing what's going to unfold and take place next. But we all know what it is to come through these moments of darkness into the majestic light of God's grace. God's children do not remain forever in their seasons of darkness. Our journey that leads us into these trials of life also takes us out of them again. And in this we recognize the promise that Jesus spoke, that he not only goes to prepare a place for us in heaven, but that he also, while on this earth, prepares his children for heaven. It's not as though we have no foretaste of heaven whatsoever. We will not one day arrive to take up residence in a strange heavenly home, only to stand before a strange God, there to live among a strange people for all eternity. Heaven is a place that is prepared for us who are being prepared by God. As we read in Hebrews 11, verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And so the point of all this is to remind you that when these moments of heaven on earth are tasted by us, we who are the children of God, when we taste of the blessed comforts of salvation in Christ, when we recognize again the full mercies of God that have been lavished upon us, we who are so undeserving, we then recognize again that as God's children, we must begin, continue, and end only with the Lord. When we confess with such joy because of that which has been placed upon our hearts, that the Lord is my shepherd, everything that has to do with self disappears, is set aside. The Lord, in that moment, becomes our all in all. And beloved, it's in these moments when we recognize the insignificance of self, where self is pushed aside, where the Lord then takes his rightful place in the forefront of our lives. It's in these moments that we have the greatest peace and the most satisfaction in this life, the greatest enjoyment, the greatest contentment. The very basis of this psalm rests on these two words, the Lord. In fact, these two words are the basis of all of Scripture. They are the very basis for each of God's elect. These words are written on the hearts that have been turned from stone and made into flesh. This is how the psalm begins. This is how life in Christ begins. The Lord. Well, then who is the Lord? Are you acquainted with the Lord? Has it been your experience that you have been made to cry out to him, knowing that he alone holds the key to life? Do you fear the Lord? I believe that our generation stands in danger of losing sight of the Lord. Just look at the world's response to this coronavirus, standing for hours in lines at grocery stores just in case. Now, it's wise, of course, to prepare. But the panic that we see out there. Congregation, we can recite these words. But the question is, how sincere are we in embracing these words? Have we stood before God's attributes, there to experience his holiness, his majesty, his justice, his power, his wisdom, his grace, his mercy, his love? Do we realize that the first step into eternity, an eternity that begins with saving faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, rests on these opening words? The Lord. You see, without that understanding, that conviction, we couldn't even think to move another step forward to considering this psalm. It would only be vain repetition. Jeremiah writes in chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories Glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. The word that is here translated as the Lord is the word that is also Jehovah, Yahweh. I am who I am. There is no one greater. He's the all-sufficient God. He is the self-existent God, the one who is the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be tomorrow. He's the one who has entered into covenant with his elect. The promises to them are sure, but he is to be feared. And you see, that, beloved, is where the rubber hits the road. It's perhaps that we're not afraid of him. We do not have that sense of fear that the Israelites had as they stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, and rightly so. That was a different time. We do not tremble at the prospects of an eternity in God's wrath, because the promises, you see, are ours in Christ. But yet it says in Scripture that God is to be feared. Let me take you through some verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 15, verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Yes, it's the fear of Yahweh. And so we confess that this Lord whom we must fear is our shepherd. Now, by referring the Lord to as the shepherd, David ties in the messianic promise of the great shepherd king, Jesus Christ. He points to him, the one who calls himself the Good Shepherd. Well, what do we know about shepherds, especially in this day and age? When we think of shepherds, we think of those who were and still are in some places of the world watching their flocks by night. Those who are watching their flocks when the angels suddenly appear and announce the birth of Christ. We think of their lowly work. May I put it this way, that not one of us here would necessarily give up our day job to seek a career in shepherding. In the time of David, the role of shepherd was considered to be very low on the scale of prominence. It was an unpleasant task reserved for the youngest in the family, which David was. Shepherds were around the sheep 24/7 through all the seasons, no matter the weather. They had to make sure the sheep were fed. They had to make sure that they were protected. They were to go to great lengths to care for the sheep. And here was David confessing the truth that Jehovah was his shepherd. The lowest of jobs, most humbling of jobs, was taken on by God Almighty. Have you ever thought about that? God, who has called all things into existence, has reached down from heaven so as to care for his sheep. Who are his sheep? They are his elect. They are his chosen. They are you and me. And in Christ, we see even more clearly how we are protected and how we are cared for, in that Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. He's a shepherd redeemer who sits at God's right hand, waiting until such time as he will return. Beloved, we see that concept in the two psalms that stand on either end of this psalm as bookends. In Psalm 22, we see the shepherd who died for his sheep. In this psalm, we see the shepherd who lives for his sheep. And in Psalm 24, we see the shepherd who will come again for his sheep. So then, the Lord is my shepherd. To confess that is to then confess to being a sheep in the flock owned by God. This then is our second point. I belong to him. If the Lord is shepherd, that's one thing. But we who are his children speak of him as being my shepherd. We personalize it. Well then, is he your shepherd? Do you belong to him? I hear you say in your hearts, yes, yes, indeed, he is my shepherd. Well then, do you need him as your shepherd? Can you live him without him as your Savior? You see, it's all well and good to confess the Lord and to even confess him as being your shepherd, but do you recognize yourself as being one of his sheep? We've just said that none of us would most likely not leave our day jobs to become shepherds, but is it above our dignity to confess that we are sheep? Because you see, by virtue of your confessing God as your shepherd, and in that mix is the understanding that our shepherd is the shepherd, the Redeemer who is Christ, but then we must readily acknowledge already ourselves as being sheep, the sheep of his pasture. And when we confess ourselves as sheep, we must also recognize our dependence upon our shepherd. Are you ready to do that? Sheep, you see, are interesting animals. If you get right down to it, to be referred to as a sheep is to be classified as one who is utterly dependent. Utterly dependent. Is that what you are? Utterly dependent. Sheep are very, very dependent. If you left a sheep alone for any length of time, it would soon find itself in trouble. It's a helpless, defenseless animal who needs care and guidance constantly. Isn't this a picture of you and me? Do you not see how through your covenant head, Adam, you've already brought destruction on yourself? And don't you see that all your ways lead to death? Young people, this concept of shepherd and sheep is especially hard for you in the experiences of life that you're just now being rooted in coming out from under your father's rule to being independent. This is something that you're just now gaining in some degree. You're slowly making your own decisions. And those decisions involve the spiritual direction of your life. Are you too busy having fun in order to give any of this any thought? Is it important that you do this? Should you be confessing Jesus Christ or the Lord as your shepherd? As a child of God, his child born of promise, it is your responsibility to come to the realization that some of your independence would mean that you are moving to an open recognition of your dependence upon Christ. Your father is now your covenant head in that you follow his spiritual lead. However, slowly that will become your responsibility, as it ought to become your responsibility. So then realize that you are sheep who must depend upon the good shepherd, no longer depending upon your father and your mother, but depending upon the good shepherd as your parents are teaching you to do so. Jesus says in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Utterly dependent. Another thing that sheep are, and it's getting even more degrading, you might say, that is, if we let our pride stand in the way, sheep are, to put it bluntly, dumb. They're foolish. A sheep is one of the dumbest animals alive, you might say. A sheep will practically kill itself to get to pastures that are all but barren, leaving behind their own green pastures. A sheep can easily go astray, but has great difficulty in finding its way back. But you see, a child of God who confesses the Lord as shepherd will also confess his or her foolishness. Asaph confessed in Psalm 73, verse 22, I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. You can imagine that the beast that he's referring to is a sheep. A sheep is also a wanderer. It will follow any path, but seldom will it take the right one. It goes in all directions except the right one. But a sheep who confesses the Lord as shepherd will recognize that all we, like sheep, have gone astray, each his own way. Thus looking for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But sheep are also stubborn. If a sheep needs to be washed, it does everything possible to break free. It will struggle and resist the very thing that is good for them. If, for instance, a sheep is being washed in shallow water, as long as it feels it has a foothold below its feet, it will fight. But if it discovers that there is nothing but water beneath them, they give up the fight. They become submissive. Let this template be placed over your own life. Do you not struggle and fight resisting the work of salvation until your feet are knocked out from under you? Or resist walking in the way that you know is the right way until your feet are knocked out from under you? Then the Lord has your attention, doesn't he? And sometimes that's exactly what it takes to get our attention, isn't it? Beloved, to truly confess these opening words of this psalm, we must confess ourselves to be sheep in need of a shepherd and willing then to submit to that shepherd. Yes, we are like sheep. It's a perfect description of who we are, but we have the ability that is different from sheep. We have the ability to think. The Spirit works in our hearts to help us rise above these sheep-like characteristics so as to conform to the image of God in which we were created. As those who belong to this great shepherd, let us forsake ourselves and place our lives in his hand, where we follow his lead. We, after all, are his. And so belonging to the great shepherd, we then must know that we are cared for, which is our third point. He preserves us. It won't be long before Easter will be upon us. And 40 days after Easter, we'll come together again and confess Christ sitting at God's right hand as we assemble ourselves for the Ascension Day service. And from there, at God's right hand, he watches over us, we who are his sheep. He cares for us. He intercedes for us. He goes to great lengths to fulfill his promises to us, and he never comes up short. Earthly shepherds fall short. Earthly shepherds fall asleep in the night watches. Earthly shepherds lose sight of one sheep and must go and leave the others behind so as to find that one. Earthly shepherds are unable to fully preserve their flock from disease and pestilence. They can do their best, but it's always a losing battle at times. But God has a full shepherd's heart. He leads with a shepherd's hand. He listens with a shepherd's ear. He is always near his sheep, and he knows his sheep. He is a faithful shepherd, and he has the strength and the power of the good shepherd. In the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, we confess that we are not our own, but we belong. We belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, and we are preserved by him in such a way that not a hair can fall from our heads without it being the will of our Heavenly Father, and that by his Spirit we are assured of eternal life, and so we are made able to serve him and to live for him. We are made willing to do all of this. And so God, through Christ, is our shepherd. And as shepherd, he is never apart from his flock. His elect are sought for and found by him. But the question we have to ask ourselves is this: is he my shepherd, and am I his sheep? Is this shepherd whom we here confess indeed the keeper of my soul? Is that what we truly and honestly believe? Do we know the voice of the great shepherd? Do you know the blessed joy of being owned by the great shepherd? The sign of ownership for us is the mark of the cross. Is that what you hold up for all to see? Do you then acknowledge his authority over you in the context of your covenant home and in the context of this covenant community that we know as the Church of Jesus Christ? Are you truly being shepherded by the Lord, or are you resisting his lordship? That can happen so easily in such subtle ways. If we confess these opening words as being true, then we would, why would we strive in our own strength? Why would we resist the authority delegated to fathers and to elders as being oppressive? Why would we even question anything as it pertains to the truth of God's word? You see, a good shepherd cares for his sheep and has the best interests of his sheep at heart. Isaiah 40, verse 11, speaks as to who our shepherd is. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Congregation, may we rejoice in confessing the Lord as our shepherd. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the picture that has been painted for us and for the truth that it portrays. You being the good shepherd, the faithful shepherd, the merciful shepherd, and we being the stubborn sheep. Stubborn sheep who, in your grace and mercy, have brought us into your flock. Father, we pray that we would continue our lives in the sheepfold of Christ our Savior. And Father, we are a part of that flock here in Brampton. May you continue to minister your grace to us, that you would soften our hearts and remove the stubbornness and any thoughts that we might have concerning self, and that we would together desire your ways and show forth our utter dependence upon you, crying out to you in all things and desiring, O Lord, that before we embark on any aspect of our life, that we would set it before you. Continue to minister your grace, O Lord, here in this place, and for the glory of your name. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.